The gospel lesson this morning is taken from John. I'll be reading the first 14 verses of that gospel. I'll be reading from the Message translation. Listen, this is the good news about Jesus. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God's present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was the light to live by. The light blazed out of the darkness, and darkness could never put it out. There was once a man, his name was John, sent by God to point out the way to that life, light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John himself was not the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life, the light, was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings his light. He was in the world, but the world was made through him, but the world didn't even notice him. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, those who believed he was who he claimed to be and that he would do what he said, he made them their true selves, their child of God selves. They are the God begotten, not begotten by blood or flesh. The Word of God became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory. Like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word today. Thank you that we could be reminded of the truth, not only the truth of it, but the power of it, that this life, light of Christ, can be ours in new ways. Amen. There's lots of standard favorite Christmas movies, right? What are some movies you like to watch around Christmas time? It's a Wonderful Life, yes. That's certainly one of them. What do you like about that movie, Marge? Jimmy Stewart, all right. That's a good one. Not to put you on the spot. What's another Christmas movie we like watching? Ralphie. What's that?
Ralphie or whatever
the name is. Oh, yes. A Christmas Story, right? Good. What's another one? Any favorites? I know my wife's just dying to raise her hand. Because ever since meeting her, this has become my favorite Christmas movie. And we watch it probably multiple times every year. Can you believe that? What is it, honey? What is it, honey? Go ahead, say it. It's okay. It's Christmas. Christmas Vacation. Come on. The greatest movie of all time. But yes, it is. It's a great movie. That movie is just a classic. And if you haven't watched it or haven't seen it like 25 years, 30 years ago when it was made, watch that movie. It is really a clever movie, and the core of the gospel is in it. You know what that is? Well, I'm going to tell you about another movie first. Now, a movie that I haven't seen, because we usually wait till movies, you know, come out of the theater and they make their rounds on like iTunes and stuff. But there is one movie coming up I've read a little bit about, and it sounds really great. It's called Arrival. Arrival. And it's about a linguist who has to work very, very hard. It's like her whole life prepared her for this moment to communicate to aliens that have landed on Earth. How would you tackle that problem? Aliens have landed in the backyard, and you're not sure what the mission is, their mission, but your job is to try to figure out how to communicate with another species. You think you could do that? Like, what would you try? Well, I'll have to wait till the movie comes out. It actually comes out today. But we'll have to wait and see. But that movie's, the burden of the movie, the story of the movie is, how would you communicate with someone that was totally different from you? We have a hard enough time communicating with people that look just like us. How would you do that? The gospel story says that heaven and earth met. That there was an encounter. That there was a shared experience between this God who created all things, who came to connect with us and to tell us wonderful news. How would God do that? Because God is like God and we are not. We are creatures. We are created in God's image, but we are not God. How would he do it? Or if you were going to run outside and try to communicate with some ants, we have some ants out here by the front steps, and if we were going to try to communicate with the ants, very, very politely, just say, excuse me, but, you know, you really don't belong on the stoop of the church. I'm just saying, you know, it's just this is not right. And you should go to your little ant houses and just be happy and live a long time. But how would you communicate with the ants? Well, you know how we communicate with the ants, right? We call the exterminator. Yeah, that's an option. I mean, they're outside. Now, come on. They don't belong inside. But that kind of, that's the burden, you see. That's the burden of the gospel. That's why the Christmas story, as friendly and as sweet and as gentle as many of the images are of Christmas, and there are many of those images in the Christmas story, that the most amazing part of the story is actually the biggest surprise of all, that God, who created all things, became like you and like me. Why would he do that? We'd have to solve the problem with the ants. We'd have to become an ant. Imagine how crazy that would be. And for the ants, I mean, they'd really be crazy, right? Oh my God, there's a human looks just like us. It talks our language and has funny little feet and walks around just at our speed. See, that's what God did. God said, I love you so much that I have a message to communicate, but you're just not on my wavelength. You just do not know my language. Even the greatest linguists of all time could never have predicted what happened. Prophets predicted what happened, what would happen. That a woman would give birth, that the prophet said that someone would come and he would be a mighty counselor and the Prince of Peace and all these things. But the gospel lesson in John did not begin with the birth narratives like Matthew and Luke. Those are the familiar Christmas passages. John, who was not Jewish, he was Greek, and his message was not to Jews like the Gospel of Matthew, and it was not to Romans and those in the occupying country. Rome sort of took over the world back then at that time. The Gospel of Mark was written to Romans, had a special emphasis that they really understood. And Luke, who was also Greek, but he was a doctor and a historian, and so he wrote his story in a very methodical, organized, step-by-step way. And there's birth narratives in all three of those Gospels. But the Gospel of John? Did you know that the Gospel of John, the material in the Gospel of John, is almost 80% unique to the Gospel of John? And yet, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have 80% of the same story they're telling from these three different perspectives. But the Gospel of John, very, very unique, very unusual. The Gospel of John has this world view, has a message sort of like in this movie Alien, I suspect, that this amazing encounter with something other than us, we are going to have an opportunity to sit down and have a cup of coffee with. That God figured out the linguistic problem. God figured out the connection problem. God figured out how to communicate in a way that we understand. We don't need to go to college to figure out the message. We don't have to be a technologist to understand the gospel message. We don't have to be born in North America or born in any other part of the world to understand the gospel message. That that like a great encounter, God decided to come down and be just like you and me and invites us to be a people who bring this prophetic message out to others. How can Cold Spring Church communicate this most amazing connection that God actually didn't come down? It says that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. But there is another verse that follows that verse. Do you know what it is? For God, this is John 3:17, that for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. See, the gospel message isn't a message of condemnation. It's not a message of, pay attention, you knuckleheads. It's a message that says, I love you so much that I want to have a relationship with you on your terms, in your language, to suit your needs and where you've come from, wherever you find yourself in life. No matter how close you may feel to me or how distant, no matter how tuned in you are to things that you like or kind of tuning out, whether you feel old or whether you feel young, and whether you are older or whether you are, in fact, younger, that the gospel message is one where God has come and says, I want to have a cup of coffee with you. That's all I want to do. Just want to connect. Just want to chat. Just want to be available. So how can the church become more like that? Well, the first thing we can do is we need to make our home in the wilderness. We have to be willing to make our home not in the church building, but in the community that surrounds the church. John the Baptist did not come to hang out with all his favorite people. He came to hang out with just people. And so we need to make our home in the wilderness. It says that John was a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare for the Lord's coming. But there's something else we need to do, I think, that we learn from this encounter that we have with Jesus. That Jesus identified with those who are marginalized, those that don't have a voice like most of us have. That's why in the scriptures we read so often, that we take particular attention, care about all people, but pay attention to widows and orphans and the poor. Widows, orphans. Why picking out them? Why do we do it? Well, we only care about widows and orphans and the poor? No, it's not what the scripture says. It says care about all people, but don't forget those that are marginalized, that don't have a voice as clear as yours, that aren't heard as frequently as your voice is heard. That's why we become advocates for widows and for orphans and for the poor, those that have reduced access to resources. And so this is how the church becomes a prophetic church. We hang out in the wilderness, in the real world, but we also identify with the marginalized. And we also become a church of hope. We learn from Scripture that we repent, and when we turn our lives over to God, that there's new possibilities that unfold, not condemnation. And we also become a church that denounces hypocrisy, and we try to be authentic and real, so that when we do things, we want to do things with integrity, and we want to do things with some consistency, and we always want to do things with a hopefulness. The other thing we do, like John the Baptist did, was we need to point to Jesus. That in everything we do, it may be obvious or it may be subtle, but everything we do is because Christ is the one who is having this conversation with us, and so we have a conversation with others. And lastly, one of the things we need to do as a church that's prophetic and offers hope to our communities is that we need to be an outside looking, an inside looking out, not an outside looking in kind of a church. That when we're here, that our focus is on what's going on in the lives of the people who are outside this building in this moment. That's what we did last night for a Christmas Eve service. Some of you were here for that. But everybody can't come to every service. Do you know what the real secret is to churches that are vital and thriving in communities? It's not how many people come on Sunday. It's how many people have conversations with people Monday through Saturday. That's where the good news, cup of coffee, have a cup of coffee with Jesus thing really takes shape. And so although gathering in a congregational setting is sort of like football, and this is the locker room. Yeah, this is the locker room. This is where the team, those that choose to come, those that can come, and we come when we can. First Sundays I can always come, but I work on the second Sundays, I never can come. It's fine, doesn't matter. You come when you can come. But when you come to the locker room, you receive encouragement and you receive gratitude. Your gifts are honored. You're joyfully welcomed. And if you had a great week, we want to celebrate that. If you had a stinky week, we want to embrace that too. And in the locker room, we receive training and we receive the kind of skills and the encouragement we need, because the football game is never played in the locker room. Did you know that? The football game is only played where? Out in the field. And so if the players hung out all day long in the locker room, what kind of game would that be? And so the church gathers as sort of a locker room experience. And then Monday through Saturday, that's where we're out on the field. And that's where the message of the good news, that heaven and earth overlapped in the gospel story. And God wants you to have cups of coffee with your neighbors and friends and represent that inside looking out. We don't have outsiders. We don't think that way. All of us are connected. What we do as a church means that things need to be free or inexpensive. Food and drink is almost always a good thing. That we need to be accessible so that people can get access, come when they want, stay as long as they want, and leave when they want. And we also need to have people that habitually gather together, those sort of on the core team, and those others that just come in and out, just fine, just in and out, and they receive a blessing too. But all of us, whenever we do, we're welcomed, we're received how we are, and we're all sent out in joy, knowing that God wasn't content to stay up there, but that in Christ, He came down here, and He hasn't left. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for new friends. We thank you for older friends. We thank you that this mingling of people with all of our different gifts bring us to the same place, Cold Spring Church. Over 300 years, people have just been hanging out here and making lives different during the week. We thank you for our communities. We thank you for those that serve our communities. And we thank you that we're a partner with our communities so that heaven and earth will overlap in surprising ways, now and forever. Amen.